Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tech and Tea podcast with Joshua Vergara. That's me. What's going on, everybody? All right, so I'm back with another episode of the podcast, trying to do these every single week. Generally, I would love to have a guest on these podcasts, but for the most part, a lot of news just ends up happening, and I just try to record things as they come along. And boy, this week already started off with some pretty big bombshell pieces of news, some of which were leaks, some of which are speculation in regards to upcoming releases and whatnot. But I wanted to start off this episode with a little bit of a memorandum of sorts. Now, you'll see what I mean when I just sort of recount to you the story behind TCL finally dropping, kind of finally because people were expecting this to happen, TCL dropping BlackBerry as a manufacturing partner. Okay, so a lot of you out there probably know that I was a big fan of BlackBerry's, not only back in the day, but in the last couple of years as BlackBerry was attempting to come back into the smartphone game with a number of different releases that were always exciting, if not necessarily the best selling. I am going to go through a couple of the videos that I made back then. I remember when the BlackBerry Key 1 came out, I was just so happy that something like this was coming out, a smartphone version of like a BlackBerry Bold that had a very similar type of keyboard. And that video was back when I was at Android Authority. Now, a couple of things that I remember back then from the Key 1 was mainly that the keyboard was a little bit squishy, and also it was like glossy all over the place, so it did end up looking really dirty after a while, but it was still one of those phones that felt really awesome for the same reasons why the old BlackBerries felt awesome. It's because not a lot of people used them, especially in the dawn of the smartphone age when we had phones like the Nexus One, the iPhone, the first version of the iPhone coming out. Once those started to come out, people who used BlackBerries felt like they were part of this really exclusive group. Say what you will about proprietary messaging services, they're definitely not the rage right now in current smartphone or digital messaging technology. But back then, the whole idea behind BBM was that you had other people who had BlackBerries and could access BBM. There were certain features in BBM that other messaging services just didn't have. And yeah, you felt like you were part of this little clique. So that level of exclusivity was always so nice. And I feel like BlackBerry did a really good job over the years of still capturing that audience, especially with the releases of their key line devices. It's not really a surprise, but at the same time, I am still a little bit bummed out about it because I still adore the BlackBerry Key 2. Now, with the help of TCL, this was a sign of the times that BlackBerry was finding their own voice in the smartphone game. Not only were they providing some really good looking and honestly useful hardware, they were finding a way of still being relevant in the Android ecosystem with an operating system that had a lot of useful features built in, and it wasn't missing too much. And you're seeing a lot of footage of my original Key 2 review right now. The reason why is because I think that's the best way for me to sort of illustrate just how much I was into the BlackBerry Key 2. And also, I want to highlight this video because it was one of the first videos that I did, one of the first full reviews I did on a smartphone shortly after I left Android Authority. So it was actually kind of a milestone phone in my own career, and that's another reason why it was so special to me. Say what you will about a phone that has less of a screen than other smartphones that are just all screen all the time, but it was really useful to have that keyboard on the bottom, not necessarily because of the typing experience, because that's a polarizing thing no matter what, but you could use all of those buttons in order to access a lot of functions of the phone without having to even turn on the phone or swipe through home screens or anything like that. No matter where you stand on the keyboard in general, you can't deny that whenever there's an extra form of input on a smartphone, we all tend to kind of praise it. Like, for example, the silence toggle on an iPhone or on a OnePlus, or back in the day with the Galaxy Active line, there was that extra button that you could map for other things. So imagine having the entire alphabet and more on the front of a phone, and every single one of those buttons could actually get you somewhere quicker than it would in any other conventional touchscreen sense. And I wasn't the only one that thought this way. I understand that the Key 2 was definitely an enthusiast phone. It wasn't necessarily something for the casual user, not most casual users anyway. But there's that old Instagram post or Twitter, I'm trying to remember exactly where it is. You're probably seeing it right now, where gentlemen like Sasha Pallenberg and Michael Fisher and myself were all sporting Key 2s, and we were all showing them to the camera because we were like the Key 2 group. And yeah, you know, birds of a feather, like it's we were all fans of what BlackBerry was bringing to the market, and we were excited to see what would come next. But as the months went by and we didn't hear literally anything from BlackBerry, it became kind of obvious, the writing was on the wall, that maybe the partnership and the BlackBerry devices as we knew it would cease to exist. So clearly it was a journey from 2016 all the way until now. And BlackBerry and TCL have both said that current phones are going to still get support all the way through August 31st, 2022. Now, that doesn't really say much about software updates, if the Key 2 could still get software updates to further versions of Android. But even then, the Key 1 and the Key 2, it's not like they really got Android updates, major updates, that is, that much to begin with. And, you know, I find it funny that there are so many news pieces online right now that are just straight up saying BlackBerry is dead, hashtag BlackBerry is over, whatever the case may be. But this doesn't mean that BlackBerry as a phone brand is necessarily going to go by the wayside. It just means that BlackBerry as we know it, with their partnership with TCL, is no longer going to be a thing. A lot can happen between now and 2022, and that's plenty of time for BlackBerry to find another manufacturing partner, even though, to be fair, TCL is a pretty reliable manufacturer as long as they keep the partnerships up. TCL has helped a lot of different brands get themselves back off the ground and back into the public consciousness, and BlackBerry was a great example of that. But maybe BlackBerry would actually partner up with somebody else, or they would find a way of actually manufacturing devices again. But there is a point that I want to make about BlackBerry as a whole, especially over the last couple of years. Everybody out there was talking about this nostalgia trip that we have with smartphones at the moment. I am going to talk a little bit about the Galaxy S20, some of the hypes around that, but also the fact that something like the Galaxy Z Flip might actually be happening. Before that, we had the Moto Razr, which is starting to get into the hands of some users right now, and that's a whole nother story in and of itself. But if you look at the Z Flip and the Moto Razr, the nostalgia trip is real strong right now, and everybody is trying to create a smartphone from the form factors that we used to have. That sounds an awful lot like BlackBerry, doesn't it? If you look at everything in terms of just a nostalgia trip, I think we should be giving BlackBerry a little bit more credit in terms of bringing back an old form factor and finding a way of injecting the smartphone into it in a very practical fashion, and also in a very effective fashion. The BlackBerry Key 1 and Key 2 are obvious examples of what happens when you look to one's past in order to influence one's future. And that is what everyone's basically saying about phones like the Moto Razr and the Galaxy Z Flip. From time to time, I might take out that Key 2 and work on it for a little while because honestly, it's an experience in smartphones that we literally don't have anywhere else. And it would be great to see that become a thing more often. I mean, a Priv 2 probably would have been mind-blowing if they had like a great Key 2 keyboard underneath a full screen. That probably would have gone really well. That way people can still have their full screen experience. But then if you want a little bit of that nostalgia trip, flip, you just got to slide that screen up. In any case, for those of you on the YouTube side, thank you so much for watching this snippet from my podcast. Don't forget to get into the comment sections down below. Let me know what you think about BlackBerry basically losing their main manufacturer and potentially their place in the smartphone market. I'm not going to speculate and say that they are completely dead, but this is not a good sign, obviously. And we can only hope that BlackBerry can find a way to get themselves back up sometime in the future. But let me know what you think about all that in the comment sections down below. To listen to the entire podcast and any episode of the Tech and Tea podcast with Joshua Vergara, the link to the iTunes version of it is down in the description below. I'm still trying to get Spotify to notice my podcast again. I'm also looking to change hosts for my podcast, so hopefully the transition from YouTube to audio will be a little bit easier for those of you who are watching these videos on my channel. But yeah, those were just some thoughts on BlackBerry that I wanted to put out there. Also, just a bit of a nostalgia trip for myself on my own content. I mean, I have clips of the video of the Key 1 in this one, and then I also have the Key 2. If you're watching the YouTube version, that is, there's always that visual component. But if you're on the audio podcast for now, I'm going to go ahead and just take a little bit of a break, and then I'll come back and let's talk about some Galaxy S20 and Z Flip hype. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Galaxy S20, all the leaks that are happening. Unpacked is literally happening within days of me recording this, and you probably are watching this like the weekend before it, which I'm hoping is when I'll release this particular clip. In any case, let's go ahead and get into some of the leaks, some of the specs of the Galaxy S20, and let me tell you what I'm excited for. I want to know what all of you are excited for in the comment sections down below if you're watching the YouTube version. And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, check my YouTube channel, see if this video is up, and you can chime in as well in those comment sections. Now, the most recent thing that happened with the Galaxy S20 is that the images actually leaked on Samsung's own website. So we got the most substantial look at what these phones are going to look like. Now, the number one thing that kind of gets me about the S20 line is that there's not going to be an E version anymore. The S10e was one of those phones that was really sought after by a lot of people because it tried to do something different. It tried to take the specs of the higher versions and put them into a body that, while it did miss a couple of specifications, it was still more affordable and more accessible. But now, and I'm sure a lot of you know this already if you're watching this video just because you're on the hype train yourself, or even the leak train, which is a whole different thing, all these leaks were coming out, so it's clear that we have the S20, the S20 Plus, and the S20 Ultra. Okay, so Ultra just decided to come back as a word in our smartphones. Do you guys remember the Sony Xperia Z Ultra? That is a classic phone that I reviewed back at Android Authority. And Ultra was definitely the term for a phone that was more tablet than smartphone through and through. And if anything, that's one of the things I'm a little bit worried about, is that the S20 Ultra is obviously going to be the one that's most sought after, just like the Plus models were the most sought after in the last two iterations of these phones. So the Plus models, the biggest ones, the most battery, the most features and whatnot, that makes sense. The Galaxy S20 Ultra, though, it looks like it's taking all of that up to 11. I mean, you only really need to look at this particular leak that, again, happened today when I am recording this episode, that shows the back of the phone, and it's like Samsung just didn't care at all anymore about smartphone design. They just went ahead and put as many things on the back as they possibly could. Samsung just went balls to the wall with this thing by having four cameras on the back, but three of them along with the flash are in the square that kind of seems a little bit conventional. And then there's just way more underneath it that is another camera. And next to it, it says Space Zoom 100X. Because 10 times optical is great already, but why not do that times 10 again? As far as the front-facing camera is concerned, we can expect there to be the punch hole at the top of the screen right in the center. So it's a little bit like a teardrop, but then it doesn't actually cut down from the top. It's just a little hole at the middle. Honestly, don't get me wrong. I'm excited for the cameras, but I'm not all that jazzed by the way that they look. And that's true for the other two versions of the phone as well, the S20 and the S20 Plus, because it's not just a square on the back. It's not just a rectangle on the back. It's also this huge hump. It's this thing that you might actually need a case to actually round out the back. That way it's flush on a surface. That way you don't scratch up the optics or the glass on top of the optics as you drag the phone around, as most people inevitably do. So it's because of that that I'm expecting accessories to be a huge push this time around. Probably when Unpacked happens, they're going to have a whole section of all of these different cases that you can use, not only to customize the phone, that's going to be how they sort of tell that narrative, but obviously those cases are also going to be so that you protect your investment, because there's way more that can scratch on here than ever before. And this might be a bit of a hot take. Let me know what you think in the comments below, but it's just my opinion that super far zooms are not really all that useful for me. Now, while you can have maybe 5x, and that's something that I have used in the past, having 10x and then 100x at hybrid zoom is not really something that excites me. It's not something I even use all that often. Obviously, wide-angle cameras are more my jam, and I would love to see a wide-angle camera on the front of the device for the first time in ever. But if the Galaxy S20 Ultra spec sheet is to be believed, there could be a 40-megapixel selfie camera. That's pretty damn powerful. I just hope that the focal length is something that you could use for things like vlogging, because if you're able to do something like 4K 60 FPS videos on the front-facing camera of this one, well, that's just another good plus as far as a vlogging device is concerned. So, literally about a week ahead of Unpacked, one of the last pieces of news, or rather leaks, that happened were the price. And this is another place where I'm still a little bit skeevish about it, because one of the reasons why the S10e was really sought after was because of its lower price point. And I was hoping that the S20 would follow suit, given that it's the smaller version of all three phones. That doesn't seem to be the case here, as the S20 is being touted as still a flagship super high-end device, and it starts at that price that all of us still kind of dread, $999. After that, you can go up another $200 for each upgraded device. That's a lot to ask for, especially the S20 Ultra. And for a lot of people out there who might rather spend $1,400 on something else worthwhile, not to say that this phone isn't worthwhile, but you have to realize that there might be people who are already looking to buy something at that price, and then this phone comes out and they want the phone as well. You gotta weigh the cost benefits here. I mean, my laptop that I do all of my work on and is responsible for the majority of my livelihood is around $1,500. And now this phone is getting close to that price point. That is interesting. I thought a couple of years ago we already experienced the sticker shock of a high-end Samsung device. Now it looks like we're going to get it again. And yeah, we'll get the full story next week at Unpacked. And maybe the prices are indeed going to be that high. If they are, it's a little bit of a bummer. I can kind of see where they're coming from with that. But at the same time, it's something that we're going to have to see after the phones are actually in our hands and see if the price does seem to coincide with the feature set. So yeah, allow me to make a video, or at least in this case, a podcast with a video component about the Galaxy S20 leaks. It's just one of those things that I want to make sure I get everybody hyped up for. I'm sure all of you are already. And if you've been following the leaks, I haven't said anything that is different from what you've seen. I'm just kind of reporting on what I've been seeing and giving a few thoughts on some of the leaks. But there is one last thing that might be happening at Unpacked, and this might be the thing that most people are most excited about. This video came out very recently of the Galaxy Z Flip. Interesting name, but what you have here is a foldable smartphone screen that folds onto itself into a clamshell device, and what we basically have here is a smart flip phone. A smart flip phone. I'm not too sure what the official term will be. But unlike the Moto Razr, which has some questionable specifications and potentially a questionable build quality because the screen seems to have some actual bumps on there that Moto themselves warned people might happen, the Galaxy Z Flip will allegedly come with high-end specifications, including potentially a Snapdragon 855, which is funny because the Snapdragon 865 is what everyone is looking forward to. And if this has the 855, then that clearly means that Samsung has had this in mind for quite a while now. I'm always game for something new, something interesting and unique, and the Galaxy Z Flip is definitely that. But if you watched my video from this same podcast episode about TCL and BlackBerry severing ties and potentially making BlackBerry slowly fade into obscurity, I equated that phone and this upcoming Galaxy Z Flip to the whole nostalgic trip that we've obviously seen more of in the last year or so. It's funny how we're looking to the past in order to inform our futures, and that's not a bad thing, but we'll see what happens when people actually get a clamshell smart flip smartphone, into their hands and pockets. I know that some people are very happy to have a full smartphone experience, just something that can be flipped down, made smaller, easier to fit in a lot of different places, pockets, purses, whatever the case may be. And yeah, that is exciting, and we'll see what happens when that particular form factor finally makes it into the market. I'm not going to go too far into speculation about the Z Flip. It's the one that we probably know the least about, aside from this video that did come out showing the flipping mechanism. And of course, there are people all over Twitter and all over the different publications that are still leaking little bits and pieces of information that they find in the week leading up to Unpacked. But in any case, I'm going to go ahead and call it on this one. Thank you so much for watching on the YouTube side. I'll also call it on this podcast as a whole right now. As you probably know by now, what I do now is I make my full podcast. It's usually about 2 segments, and then I use those snippets to make content for the YouTube channel. If you are on the YouTube side and you haven't seen my piece about BlackBerry and TCL cutting ties with one another, that was the video I put out a few days ago, and you should totally check that one out because I want to know what you all think about BlackBerry's, let's say, murky or cloudy future. And then on this video, let me know what you think about the Galaxy S20, the S20 Plus, the S20 Ultra, even the Galaxy Z Flip. Talk about all that in the comment sections down below. Let's have those discussions, and probably in my next episode, I'll respond to some of your comments. That will just be on the podcast side. However, I won't be doing that for the YouTube side, so you're going to have to subscribe to the actual podcast so you can hear some of your comments said on the air. Ooh, the outros get longer and longer by the week. I'll find a way to streamline that. But for the audio side, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to head over to the YouTube side in order to be part of the discussion regarding these various topics. Also, if you're on the podcast side, maybe drop some reviews and some 5 stars over at iTunes. And that way I know what you guys like about the show and what things I might be able to improve on. But for now, I'm just making sure to talk with you guys about all of these things that happen every single week. And I found a way to bring it to the YouTube side. So thank you so much for watching. Once again, subscribe to my channel if you haven't already. Hit that bell over on the side so you can keep up with everything that I'm doing. And with all that said, I will finally call it on this one and remind you to enjoy your tea, everybody.